PFAC meeting for May 21st. It's 1:30. May we have roll call from my far left? Madam Treasurer.
Sherry Friedman, present.
John Moore.
Wallace Rodecker, Vice Chair.
Lisa Hughes.
And Lisa Hughes.
And Tom Hammond here.
Eric Woolery, present.
And Eric, your title is?
Orange County Auditor Controller.
Yes. And Mr. Kim?
Frank Kim, County Executive Officer.
Yo, congratulations.
And the minutes may reflect congratulations. Do I have a motion to approve the minutes of the April 9th meeting?
So moved with a comment.
Yeah. Mr. Moore, your comment?
Did we change whoever's taking the minutes? Because I thought these were outstanding compared to what we've had in the past. It was really a thorough job, and I want to compliment whoever put them together.
Absolutely. Suzanne Lester, CEO Public Finance. The person that put together these minutes is our new clerk of the committee, Tracy Leek.
Great. Well, you did a lovely job.
Well done, Tracy.
Thank you.
I'll second John's motion.
Okay. And Madam Treasurer.
I just have one comment on page 3 on the second to last paragraph, the third line from the bottom. It has an extra the. Should be is committed to compensate KNN if they approve. And it, so it just needs to be taken out. It's a spelling. I mean, it's just a formatting.
Boy, I tell you, we cross those T's and dot those I's. Does the maker of the motion accept an amendment?
Yes.
Second accepts said amendment?
Yes.
As corrected.
As corrected. Any further comments? Call the question. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All opposed? None. That brings us to the first agenda item and the only agenda item, and that, Ms. Lester, are you presenting?
Yes.
Good afternoon, PFAC committee members. Suzanne Lester, CEO Public Finance. This agenda item, the County Executive Office is requesting approval of the selection of Orrick, Harrington, and Sutcliffe as bond counsel and Squire Patton Boggs as disclosure counsel for the proposed 800 megahertz countywide coordinated communication system upgrade financing. This proposed financing came to your committee last month, where your committee approved the financing in concept and approved the selection of K&M Public Finance as the financial advisor and Citigroup Capital Markets as the underwriter. On April 21st, the Board of Supervisors also approved the financing in concept and the selection of the financing professionals. The only finance professional left to appoint is Bond and Disclosure Counsel, which we issued an RFP to our qualified panel. And out of 12 firms on the qualified panel, 8 responded. An evaluation panel was convened that consisted of 2 public finance managers and a county council deputy. And the recommendation of the committee is to select Orrick, Harrington, and Sutcliffe as bond counsel and Squire Patton Boggs as disclosure counsel.
Ms. Lester, before we get there, would you introduce yourself and we will join you in the minutes.
Yes, good afternoon. I'm Carl Groner. I apologize for being a tad late.
Good afternoon.
No problem.
Ms. Lester, I was wondering why we didn't have a representative from PFAC on that committee.
At the last meeting, we discussed that we were reissuing the RFP, and we did it in a very expedited fashion. The panel members we selected were staff who read the RFPs in a matter of days, and we convened very quickly.
I would hope in the future that we'd give the opportunity for a member of this committee to be involved with that process.
Understood. Well, in the future, we'll ask first the committee and let the committee know if we have an expedited time frame we're trying to meet, and we'll give a committee member the first opportunity.
Well, may I inquire on that, Madam Counsel? Is it appropriate to send an email to all of the members and say you're going to have this meeting and invite them to participate?
Even though they're not on the panel?
Well, that's the point. The question was, a PFAC member wanted to be there when the panel convened.
I would recommend that they not be present. That conversation and that selection should be strictly for members of that panel, of the selection, so that they can discuss and review the proposals and give the recommendation. It's not a public meeting. It is a confidential meeting where
But it's the meeting that puts forth to this committee, here's our selection, and we've had no input in at that point.
I think what we're talking about is when a group convenes and the people who are going to review those proposals are pre-selected and they're going to meet, and a PFAC member is not part of that committee, as opposed to having a committee where one of the members is a PFAC member. Those are two distinct, different scenarios.
Are they two different meetings?
Well, in one hand, the PFAC member is already told that they're a member of that committee and is involved in the evaluation of the proposals. In the other scenario, when they're not a member, whoever's not a member of the evaluation committee should not be in attendance when those proposals are being
reviewed. I don't think you understood the question.
Okay.
The question is, I think Mr. Moore said, shouldn't a PFAC member be on the committee?
Oh.
I think that's the question.
Okay, that is strictly a policy decision for the department and the committee.
Mr. Kim, I believe, wanted to weigh in on that.
I think the direct answer to your question, sir, is that my understanding is you would like an opportunity for PFAC members to participate on the RFP panel. And I believe what Ms. Lester said was that in the future, if we had an expedited time frame, we would identify that it's expedited time frame, identify the constraints, and then offer an opportunity for PFAC members to participate. And once they're in that committee, then they are part of that offsite discussion. And during that discussion, if a PFAC member is a part of that committee, they may continue to have that dialogue with their other committee members. But other RFP committee members from PFAC may not participate in that separate discussion.
Right, but we weren't given the opportunity to ask for participation by any of our members. That's what I'm questioning.
Which was my question then to counsel. Is there any impediment to sending an email to the PFAC panel inviting them on an expedited so that somebody could email back and say, I'd like to participate, which is what didn't happen.
Yes.
Right?
There's not an issue with seeking input or a willingness to want to participate in the panel.
So could we adopt as policy, Ms. Lester, that we get at least an email if it's expedited so we can invite the members that might want to participate?
What we can do is we will discuss, and if we what we will do is we will amend the policy and bring that back, and we can have a statement in there. I'll work with counsel about giving a PFAC member a first opportunity to participate in a panel.
So that means we need a policy change.
Right. If what I'm hearing is a direction for that to be a policy, we would want to have that included in our PFAC policy.
We've done it in the past.
We have not always included a PFAC member.
Correct, but we have in the past included one.
At times, yes.
Can I take a straw vote? Any member of the PFAC panel here opposed to inviting PFAC members to these meetings?
No. I thought it was already a policy, but
so did I.
It is not a policy. What we would do is send out an email to and let PFAC members know that we're convening a panel and ask for availability. We'll identify any constraints on timing and allow PFAC members an opportunity.
Okay, well, then by, would you please agendize the new policy at the next meeting? Now, going back to what we originally started to talk about.
Yes, and so that concludes my presentation.
I have a question, ma'am?
Yes.
Tell me what a disclosure council is, as opposed to the bond council.
The bond council prepares the bond legal documents. The disclosure council prepares the official statements and the county disclosures and conducts the due diligence meetings.
Have we always had a disclosure? I don't remember ever having a disclosure council before.
What we have typically had, the county has typically employed a one council as a bond and disclosure council. For this financing, we chose to solicit for a separate bond council and a separate disclosure council, recognizing that this 800 megahertz financing may be a little bit more complex. We want to make sure that we're focusing more on disclosure, and it also gives us an opportunity to work with more firms, have more diverse experience with our consultants.
But didn't, in the past, Ori Carrington, who's done most all of the bond work that, since I've been around, they provided that service before, am I correct?
They have. Looking back in history, our bankruptcy recovery financings, which were back in 2005, the refundings, which were more complex, they were big financings, had ORIC as bond counsel and another firm as disclosure counsel. So we have done it before.
I there's a subtlety here that I'm not getting. Is there somebody from ORIC here? Oh, perhaps you can describe the difference between what the disclosure council does and the bond council does. I mean, why do we need two of them?
So we have Sean Baxter is a project manager with ORIC Harrington and Sutcliffe, and we have got Harriet Welch, who is a partner with Squire Patton Boggs, and she is who we were recommending for disclosure council. So if you'd like a...
Whoever can explain this to me, that would be nice.
I'd like to start with Mr. ORIC Harrington, please.
Yeah.
Can you tell us why we need two? Because I'm assuming that when we're hiring two sets of lawyers, having a little background in that myself, that it's going to cost a little more money.
So. I personally can't speak to the cost for the county. That's a decision that the county would make, whether they want a separate bond and disclosure council. I believe in this case, ORIC also submitted a bid for disclosure council services. But as Suzanne indicated, sometimes when financings are a little bit more complex, and we see this pretty often, clients will hire both a bond and a separate disclosure council.
Why, is there a conflict?
No, there's not necessarily any sort of conflict. It just really, in most cases, helps out the client so that they're getting two different perspectives, particularly when you're disclosing facts about the county to the public. It's always good to have that extra input from a firm other than bond counsel as well.
Counsel, you just said it's always good, and we just said we haven't seen this. You've been counsel on those always ones.
I just, you know, we see it both ways, and whatever the county would prefer us to do, we're obviously happy to serve in either role.
Well, can I probe this a little bit? As I understand, and correct me about this, my understand your job as bond counsel,
yes,
is to make sure that the documentation complies with the law, it meets all the regulations, and it's properly disclosed to the public, and that the county is doing what they're authorized to do and legally authorized to do. Is that a good summary of bond counsel?
Sure.
All right, now what else does the disclosure council do?
Well, again, when separate disclosure council is hired, which happens sometimes, that disclosure counsel takes charge of the disclosure documents that are released to the public. So bond counsel focuses on the legal documents, the indenture, the documents that pledge, and the disclosure counsel then takes over the disclosure documents.
Somebody want to tell me what having two counsel is going to cost us versus one? What was the difference?
PFAC committee member Suzanne Lester, we did not ask for a combined, for this particular RFP, we did not ask for a combined bid.
Well, no, that doesn't answer the question. I'm going to assure you that having two sets of lawyers are going to cost more than one set of lawyers. You will not have my vote on this until somebody can answer the question, what's the price difference? Right. We're here to guard the county's resources. And okay, that may be very well be. I ask, is there a conflict? And the answer is no. So hire two if we had a conflict. And I've asked, it's been pointed out, we don't have disclosure counsel on any that he's seen. He's been around a long, long time. You're not that old, are you?
Pretty old.
Okay, so that's all right. So I want to know for our money, and what is the money that makes the difference? That's not a tough question, guys.
Can somebody from Square Patent tell us what they're going to do that Warwick Harrington isn't going to do?
Or couldn't do.
Or won't do.
And just to clarify, you know, we specifically... we're requesting on this more complex financing a disclosure counsel. I mean, the county is seeking to improve its disclosure practices and procedures, and so we believe it would be beneficial to the county to hire a disclosure counsel.
Does this have anything to do with the allegation before that we weren't disclosing appropriately?
It doesn't directly have anything to do that, but it's a byproduct.
Mr. Moore?
I can't imagine a firm that's doing both would not stand by the disclosure. In other words, I'm concerned that we're discounting, but they're good enough to do one side of it, but we're saying they can't do the other, and they know our work. They've done it before.
So far, I don't see any reason to have two.
No.
Well, let's hear what she has to say. Why do we need a separate disclosure counsel?
Thank you very much. I am Harriet Welch. I'm a partner with Squire Patton Boggs. I have been active in public finance in California for over 30 years. And in terms of using a separate disclosure counsel, it is true that some issuers combine bond and disclosure counsel, particularly on as Suzanne indicated, a more traditional credit, like a straight general obligation bond credit. When you are getting into a transaction such as this, many issuers across the state and across the country choose to use separate disclosure counsel. And what we will do different from Orrick Harrington is that our complete focus in the transaction will be on the disclosure aspects of the transaction. We certainly have a high degree of confidence in Orrick Harrington's ability to provide you with the proper legal documentation, the proper review of the authorization for this, the proper tax analysis for the facilities being, or in this case, the equipment being financed, and to give the legal opinion that you need to sell the bonds, that the bonds are tax exempt. Those are the core of bond counsel role. And I also serve as bond counsel. I understand that. On disclosure counsel, we think it is beneficial to the issuer to have a separate counsel focus solely on the disclosure aspects of the transaction. There's a preliminary official statement, an official statement. There is the particular information about the county itself. There's the combination of the county's financial information and the legal structure of the debt as to whether that the payment terms, the structure of the transaction are being properly disclosed. Sometimes, particularly when a financing has certain time elements and you have a combined bond and disclosure counsel, it could happen that the focus is more on the bond counsel side, the legal aspects, ensuring all the legal aspects are covered, and there is slightly less focus on disclosure issues. Right now, particularly with the SEC's increased focus on disclosure, I think that issuers are benefited by having a separate counsel, and we, you know, would love to participate, and I think our fee quote was very reasonable. So I think we're going to provide a benefit to the county. Our firm was ranked nationally third as disclosure counsel across the country. We're always in the top 10, often in the top 5. We have leading experts. So I think that you would be benefited by our participation.
So do you think you have an expertise that's higher standard or higher level than Orrick Herrington?
I think I'm as good as Orrick Herrington any day of the week.
Well,
but I don't claim to have a higher standard, no.
Well, then why can't Orrick do this?
I was not asked in the RFP to say why can't Orrick do it. Orrick can do it. I think if we participate, you as an issuer have a better chance of having extra focus on your disclosure. And I think that's what your staff is trying to convey to you, that this is the time when you may be best served by having extra focus.
So we have lawyers doing...
I have a question.
Lawyers watching other lawyers is what we've got here.
No. I mean, I might be watching Orrick Herrington, but I'm watching what is the county disclosing, what needs to be disclosed to the marketplace regarding the financial circumstance of this county.
Ms. Wells,
mm-hmm.
Where is your office located?
I'm in Los Angeles.
And have you done other work for the county?
I've worked on
disclosure.
For this particular county, no.
Okay.
Madam Treasurer, you had...
If that's okay. I had a couple of questions.
Sure.
And actually, my questions are for Ms. Lester. If there's
Thank
any questions
for, the opportunity
for Squire,
may I ask a question of Squire?
Yes, finish those first, definitely.
Yes. Your firm also bid the work to do the indenture work and the bond
counsel work?
I believe
we did, yes.
According to this, you did.
Okay, great.
Would you do that work personally?
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. I think I was just
sure.
curious if that was what this said. Thank you.
Yeah. No problem.
Who wanted, who was?
Yes.
Thank you, Chair Hughes. A couple of questions. And I know we are very blessed to have a lot of very quality law firms here in California, which is great for us. It's not something that we have short of. My questions are kind of related to the process, because in looking through it, it seems like if I look at, you know, I'm just going to, and again, I know that both of the law firms here are very good, and I have no thought that they aren't going to do a good job, as I know any of them would. But when I look at Squire, Patton, Boggs, bond versus disclosure, they actually are higher in bond counsel than they are in disclosure, and we're hiring them for disclosure. When I look at Orrick for bond counsel, I also noticed that the second is 1 point behind. That is Stradling Yaka, another good firm. I mean, you're all good firms. I'm not disputing the fact you all are quality firms. I'm really looking at the process. I do see there are local, and I know that we certainly give numbers for local, but when you're 1 point apart, it's you know, I don't know, and that kind of takes me to the next question. When I look at the categories, you have basically the 90 points, which is the first category, the relevant experience in California. Then we have the number of relevant transactions, which in my mind, probably the number of relevant transactions in California are higher priority than someone who's just done others. So I know they're equally weighted, but it seems to me that that one, you know, if they've done an 800 megahertz, if they've done something, I would think that would have a higher weight on it. And those two are 180 points of the total 300. Then you have the local, which is the 70 or the 45 points. So that is, what is that, 10%, 15% or so. And then you have the fees, which is maybe 25%. And I'm just wondering, and I'm not an attorney, and I don't know, I would defer to those who are attorneys. But when I look at years of experience and relevant transactions, as an accountant, it's fairly black and white. If you have 10 years of experience, or you have, you know, 10 number of transactions, it's not very subjective, but yet we have evaluators that that rate them differently. And I'm trying to get around where we have very good law firms, how you know, when I look at RFPs, I think, okay, what were your innovative approaches that you think, and maybe for the attorneys, there's no innovative approaches because it's following the law, you know, but if so, how can anyone have a different grade if it's really looking at, it's just perhaps how they grade? I'm just not quite sure, you know, how that goes. Because again, I certainly know Oric well, they do a very good job, but we have, you know, straddling here who, you know, when I look at their two scores, they were at 527 versus the 531, which is the two scores of the two you've picked. And then when I look at Oric in total, they were at, you know, 524. They're all very, very close. And I guess, you know, that leads me to my last point, which is fees. You mentioned the fees, and thank you very much for you and your staff for putting that in. You didn't mention any actual expenses for those others that didn't win. Did they have, for actual expenses, you know, the locals also, or did they not have any travel expenses? Because that would change that total cost. And if you need to get that, I'd be more than happy to have you, you know, get that. But I'm just curious, because when I look at the fees, I see the $44,500 plus the $2,500. And then I see the
3,000,
35,000 plus the 3,000, and the others. You just had the fee proposals, so you didn't indicate if there were expenses with those or not. So, I've just got some questions on the overall process. I tried to kind of cover each of those because we certainly want to make sure we give you the right resources. But I agree, when you if you have good firms, when you you know, split it up, I would expect Oric to do a fabulous job on both the bond and the disclosure and not spend any less time because they were both instead of on one. I mean, I know as a CPA, that's what I would do if I was doing the taxes and if I was doing the audit. I would know that it's two different aspects and I have different personnel that may work with those, but I still would be giving it that, and nothing against, you know, Squire, who I know is probably a very capable firm here out of LA. So those are my thoughts. If you could maybe respond to those, that'd be great. Thank you.
Committee members and through the chair, committee member Fried and Rich, I'm looking at Stradling's proposal right now, that which was the next closest proposal. They do not list any expenses.
So we can assume there's none then?
Correct. But as the manager managing the bond financing process, I will tell you that we are using Stradling on our CFDs. So we've got one financing in progress with Stradling. Rancho Mission Viejo has indicated they're ready to submit an application for their second financing, which Stradling is contracted for. Stradling is also bond and disclosure counsel for our CUF financing. So, and then we're using them for some on-call advice on a couple of projects not related to a financing at this point. So we are providing Stradling with a lot of work, and they're very, very busy. We're keeping them very, very busy. So as the director managing this process, it would be my preference to use a different law firm so that we don't get to a point where we're getting diminishing returns on the other work that they're doing for us.
Ms. Lester.
Chair Hughes, can I just respond to one thing since that was a response to mine. So a question I have on the fees, I see that both
Oryx and straddling by 75, but you're telling us that their fees were different. So in terms of rating, I would say that you can't have, if they both didn't have exactly the same fees, we wouldn't be able to give them a 75. So I feel that we should probably go back and look at that, you know, for that item. And, you know, I completely empathize with your idea of making sure that you're looking at that, but that's not in our rating. I don't see a subjective area that says that, and so I'm just uncomfortable a little with, you know, I understand completely how, you know, we don't want to have, you know, maybe all your eggs in one basket, if that's how you want to say it. You know, you want to have some diversity, but I don't know that our rating category allows us to do that, and is that something that we should add to that rating category? So I'll turn it back to the chair. Those are a couple thoughts.
May I ask, am I the only attorney on the panel? So I do get to respond to that. May I ask the Aura Carrington lawyer to come forward?
Good afternoon again. I'm Sean Dyser. I am a project manager at ORIC. I'm not an attorney.
Oh, that's why we got the answer before. Okay.
I could ask him a question, though, Madam Chairman.
Yeah.
Do you typically bid on projects where you know you can't do it, you're too busy?
No.
I didn't think so. Thank you.
Okay. I'm sorry. I had assumed you were a lawyer. You were quite eloquent. Ms. Lester, what would it be had ORIC done both? What would the cost have been?
Well, the question was asked if we were intending to recommend separate counsel, so we did not receive a combined bid from ORIC because they asked the question and we answered that we were requesting a separate bid.
Can I interrupt you on that? Did the board members request you to do that?
No, they did not.
Okay, so that, okay.
It was initiated from our desire in a more complex financing to provide a focus on disclosure.
From the staff level?
Correct.
Ms. Lester, Ms. Hughes, may I? Could we hear what a combined bid from Squire and ORIC would be right now?
I'm sorry, Angie Duffery, County Council. At this point, I would have to object to that because you're not giving a fair opportunity for the other firms to give you a combined bid. So what's before you and what they bid is only what may be considered.
Yes, and that's what I was going to suggest and ask is to go back and answer those questions and come back to us.
Can I make a point? I'd like to direct this to Mr. Kim. Is there a sense of timing and urgency on this deal? I mean, is this next month or before the next PFAC meeting? I mean, are we doing a disservice to the board and to you by putting this off?
And I think Suzanne can answer this question more specifically, but my understanding was that we were trying to get the financing done fairly quickly. There's a long lead time because we have so many participants in this particular financing, all the cities. And you must also understand that all the cities have to get their participation in this passed through their councils as well.
Correct.
So it is a very complicated financing. And I think Suzanne alluded to this earlier. And while it's not directly related to disclosure concerns that we had in the past, it is a byproduct of that. And one of the things that Suzanne and I have discussed over time is that it's important for us as we do financings, particularly more complicated ones, to have a very, very strong focus on what we're doing on the disclosure side of the house so that we not only up our game in terms of understanding what we're doing right and how we have answered those questions and gone through those processes in the past, but it's also to ensure that we are meeting our new higher standards that we want to maintain. And the concern on this particular issue is, I think it was July that we were intending to begin the meetings with the cities and in terms of having the team in place to do this. So that is the reason why there was an expedited time frame.
When is our next meeting?
June
11th.
If I may offer just a point. I've been in the past year and a half in the various bond conferences that I have attended, I just would comment that this is the new direction and the trend and the recommendation from my peers that separate counsel be brought in for bond counsel and disclosure counsel. So if we were to do this, we would be among the growing trends of issuers who are bifurcating the work. That's just now, as the CEO just mentioned, the growing trend, because there's a focus now on disclosure.
We can read between the lines with some discussions we've had previously on issues with disclosure. The problem with that is we have heard ad nauseum, because I've been the one who's been saying, why is ORIC always on this? Not that you're not wonderful, but in spreading the work around. Now what we're saying is we give up. We're not going to hold ORIC to that standard because it's easier if we have the lawyers watching the lawyers. And yes, you're right. That is exactly what is happening. Because the ORIC has the ability, it has the staff, it has the experience to do both functions. Now, whether or not we do separate bond counsel, which may very well be appropriate, at least in my mind, I have to consider what the cost is of having separate counsel. And nobody even tried to get the answer to that because that's not what happened. So. Unless somebody says that it is absolutely urgent, and I don't see that, that we do this right. And PFAC wanted to be, a member wanted to be at that meeting and was not allowed to, and we've had the discussion on the record before with reference to that, is we'd like to look at what the cost would be. And I would hope that a lawyer from ORIC, no disrespect, but a lawyer from ORIC be here. They get a lot of our business.
May I make a suggestion, Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
I think I understand Mr. Kim's dilemma, and I don't think that we want to be obstructionists here in this thing. and a way out of this might be that I don't think anybody disagrees that we should approve Warwick Harrington. I think that we should. This is a suggestion. That maybe we approve this and call specific attention to the Board of Supervisors. We're very concerned about two issues. A, the combined pricing of this, because we know we're paying more money in legal bills with two different sets of counsel. And secondly, the wisdom and the rationale of using two different sets of counsel. Now, we've heard arguments, on both sides of it. So I think that it's not our job to decide whether we should have disclosure counsel or not, or make ORIC Harrington at all. I think that's the province of the Board of Supervisors. But I think we should call it to their attention and let them know that we are concerned about that. Now, that might be a way forward.
Mr. Moore and I are going to respectfully disagree. Yeah. Mr. Moore?
I just think that when we're talking about two counsels, Squire Patton Boggs, I don't think has... It said that it has no experience with us. It's got to be cheaper for Stradling, who knows our operation, who's reviewed these things. It's got to be a cost savings because they have to get up to speed now. Hopefully we can find another project where they can come in and win that, and they'll be up to speed.
Okay, I'm going to go from my left to my right. Any further comments?
Thank you, Chair Hughes. So one of my questions was on the rating of the proposed fees, because both ORIC was a 75 and Stradling Yoka was a 75. It has been clarified that in looking at ORIC, they have the 44,500 plus 2,500, not even up to 2,500, and Stradling Yoka has just the whatever the fee was, the 70 must be the same, 44,500 with no fees. So I'm asking, should there be a change? Is there an error? Because you can't have both receive the top score when you don't have that. And so I'm concerned we can even move forward because we have to have the detail properly rated for us to be able to move forward.
Again, Angie Duthrie, Deputy County Counsel. I would advise that the committee cannot make that unilateral change. Any changes to the evaluation and the scoring must be done by the panel.
Not asking to change the scoring.
Right.
Asking for clarification how you're possibly
okay,
able
so
to score them
the
same.
Yes, it must go back to the committee.
So should it go back to the committee for that? Because
for
that
consideration.
Is, that could have a difference. There's only 1 point apart.
Right.
And 1 point apart, I'm assuming, if you're would actually change the direction of where we're going, if that is, if as Ms. Lester mentioned, there is a difference in price. And so I'm concerned about its going forward if it needs to go back to the panel.
And Madam Counsel, if it goes back to the committee, can we add a PFAC member?
I would recommend that you not, that if you're wanting to add a PFAC member, then it should probably be resolicited.
Well, I'd like to solicit it for also what it would be if it was combined.
Right.
Okay. Mr. Moore, are you, any more comments?
No, I've had enough.
Mr. Groner?
I believe that enough concerns have been raised between the rationale and the scoring, the necessity for a separate council and the pricing, and I believe that there's enough concerns that merits this going back and being rescored, and with at least one PFAC member on there. So if we need to have them rebid it with both, with the single representation so that we can get a more accurate feel for it, or whatever it takes to make that happen. But my feelings are we're not ready to move forward on this.
Mr. Hammond, any further comments?
Only that I think that we should remember the responsibility and the role and the policy that PFAC is supposed to do here. And that is, as best I can tell, that we're really here to advise and consent. And the consent part means we're really at the mercy of the Board of Supervisors. They do what they want to do anyway. Sometimes they take our suggestions and sometimes they don't. And I don't know that putting this off, going through this drill again, and coming back is going to change anybody's mind. And I think that our job is to alert the Board of Supervisors for any issues that we see out there, which I think we're doing. We've clearly described them. And I don't think we should hold this deal up. I think we should go forward and just make it clear to the supervisors what our concerns were, and we aren't happy with the whole process.
Mr. Hammond, I advise and consent all the time, and people don't always follow my advice. But I will tell you, I am not a potted plant, and I'm not going to rubber stamp anything.
Isn't it our duty to make sure that the county's getting the best bang for the buck? Because that's what I think our job is here, to make sure that we're getting the money that we spend, we're getting the services for.
I think that's why there's an oversight body. That's one of our functions. But having said that, Mr. Groner?
Yes, I think one thing to keep in mind in all of this is a great rubric for determining it, but I do think I agree with staff that there's a wisdom in expanding our group of counsel. Sometimes counsel get busy. Sometimes counsel could be fantastic counsel, but they don't know the county yet, but we need to give them a chance to learn the county. So I'm not sure I understand why we need separate counsel. I think that's more of a predominating practice that you have to be very close to understand. But I think the one thing that isn't captured here is the need, for lots of reasons, in terms of managing resources and being able to give other people a chance at the business, that I do think it's good in general to bring on other counsel. I think sometimes even counsel who may have not done a superior job but knows the county very well, I think we also need to consider giving them less business and going for others that maybe perhaps a little more expensive, may perhaps need to learn the county a little bit more, but need to be brought on if we think that they're superior, which seems to be in some areas maybe what's going on. I think in the finality of it, I agree with Mr. Hammond that we should move forward on this. I think the bidding process is always going to be imperfect. It's never going to be perfect. I think we need to understand if it's good enough and it gets us to good enough answers that our staff is comfortable working under. And it sounds like they're pleased with the outcome. They're ready to move forward. There's a timing concern here. I think we found out this is an imperfect. This was imperfect. There were problems in the methodology. There are problems in the panel itself. It would be better if a PFAC member. But it seems like we're never going to have a perfect RFP. But this got us to answers that have a rationale that I think in good conscience we could support and move forward.
Mr. Woolery.
I'm ready to move forward on this today.
Mr. Kim.
I'm an ex officio member, but my comment in the general process is that we do have to be careful in terms of how the scoring is done, and we have to follow very objective criteria for how the procurement process goes, and the county does not have a local preference or a vendor preference or a frequent business partner preference, so we cannot consider those items as we develop the process. And it's fair for PFAC members to express concerns about our existing process. And if the PFAC members don't support that, it's fair to say we don't support it and we reject that process. But we can't engage in, I think, we have to be careful in engaging in too much dialogue about rescoring, because you get into a process where we really get into bid protests and other things. That if you find enough flaws, you have concerns, you can't push back.
Okay, I don't have a motion yet by anybody, and then I'm going to. Who said PFAC can't be exciting? I'm going to do a roll call vote today. So is there, first of all, there's no motion yet. Anybody make a motion?
I'll move to send this back to the interview panel to correct the fee portion, to make sure that the fees are rated properly, and to bring this back to the board at a special meeting if we need to.
Mr. Moore.
I would like to add to that. I'd like to have it rebid. It won't take that long. They've already given us a bid on these two areas. Just a matter of them combining that and see if there's any savings.
In addition, are you, it's part of your motion.
I would be willing to amend the motion to go out for a, they've already bid. It's a fairly simple matter, I think, for them to actually be able to just say, if you were to combine it, to have a combined price that would be also there. So I would add that to my motion.
Question of council before we ask for a second is, if it's rebid, then a PFAC member could go onto that committee.
Yes. Okay.
Any second?
I'll second it.
And if I might add that will not be a quick process. If we are reconvening a completely different panel, it will start over again.
Same panel, just add PFAC member.
I didn't actually add that into my motion. I think that's one of the things we were looking at, but I didn't make that a requirement, because I know you said it's a policy change, and I defer to staff, and I think those are good things that we have. But I didn't add that. I didn't even say it had to be a new panel. I just wanted to make sure that, you know, we get the new vote, and I think then that obviously should affect probably just the price column. If all they're changing is they're coming back with a combined a dollar, I'm thinking.
Okay, there
is a motion. If I may, I do have concerns with bringing in a person into a already convened panel to evaluate or have input on something that's already.
I'm not. That was not part of the motion. The motion is not to add any new people to the panel. It's to go out for bid to
just for the combined,
to add the combined price for that, and then to make sure that the fees is scored based on the total price, not just the base portion, but, you know, any expenses that they would have with that.
Everybody understand the motion? Any questions on it?
I guess I do not. I guess I need a clarification. So if we would be requesting a combined bid
for bond and disclosure,
we would be providing, when we come back, the combined bid, but we will still be providing our recommendation.
Yes.
Okay. I understand.
Okay. All right. At this point, I'm going to start from the left to the right.
Madam Chairman, I think we should, when we send it out, ask them if there's any, you know, please look for any savings by doing both of those. I don't want to just take what they quoted for disclosure and what they disclosed for bonds.
In order to preserve a fair procurement process, we will send a request to all the firms that bid and ask them to provide a combined price bid.
And then the separate bids, stand, or they may amend those, right?
In my opinion, those separate bids would stand.
Right.
I do understand that there is a request for reconsideration or relook.
Yes.
But it would be the committee could reevaluate whether or not they want to change the ratings as they now stand, and then there would be a separate evaluation done of the combined bids.
Okay, with that, I'll start from my left. Madam Treasurer, your vote.
Yes.
Mr. Moore.
Yes.
Mr. Rodecker.
Yes.
Mr. Hammond.
No.
Nay.
Broner.
No.
Yes. What's the vote?
4-3, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Madam Clerk, can you confirm the vote, the number?
4-3.
I didn't hear what Ms. Hughes.
I voted yes on the motion.
It's 4-3. 4 yes, 3 no.
Motion passes. If you need a special meeting, send out an email.
Understood.
Our first divided vote.
That's what I said. Who said PFAC can't be exciting? I feel like I'm sitting in the middle of the hatpins and the boys. All right. And I think the next agenda item would be public comments. Any comments?
Aren't we going to hear about the slides?
Oh, the slides.
That I can't understand.
We were provided at the request of PFAC some information that we are very grateful to have received. And where did mine go? The
blue.
Ms. Lester, you provided certain information related to the County General Fund, and you gave us some slides just very briefly, because we may go over this a little later. But would you walk us through what you did here?
Yes, Madam Chair. At the last PFAC meeting, there was a request for a summary of what exactly the general fund capital reserves were, there was a request for a list of anticipated to be financed capital projects for the current year and the next fiscal year, which would be fiscal year 15-16. And I provided four slides that were provided by our county budget office that are expected to be used in the public budget hearings on June 9th and 10th in the Board of Supervisor hearing room. And so you have the slides before you. Slide one, and Mr. Groner, do you have the slides? Okay.
Yes, I do.
I didn't
Thank
know
you.
If you had the slides. I just
yes.
wanted to make sure everybody had one.
Thank you for
we have
checking.
Some extra copies. The slide one shows three categories of general fund reserves, contingencies, strategic plan reserve, and a capital project reserve. That's the summary right. level. So turning to slide two.
Tell me, would you tell us what strategic plan reserve means?
So the county has a five-year strategic financial plan process where there is a process through the county budget office where departments submit strategic financial plans and requests for strategic priorities, big ticket items. And the county budget office, the county executive office makes compiles the plan and brings it to the Board of Supervisors annually. And the Board of Supervisors votes on setting aside monies annually for these board-approved strategic priorities to accumulate funds to expend and complete the identified projects.
So they're identified and scheduled?
Yes.
Okay.
I don't see any of the radios in here, and we talked earlier that they may have been.
So the strategic plan reserve is a
285.
is, yes, 285.
Right.
And so these are identified projects that funds are being accumulated during this process, the strategic financial plan process. The radios, we haven't decided if we're going to finance or...
So they're not in here?
They are not in here. So slide two is a listing of some of the primary strategic plan reserve uses. The top row is the vehicle license fee adjustment amount, judgment that is due to the state. And there's a list, the animal shelter, registrar of voter system upgrades. So the total planned use is $148 million. And then in the email, I pointed out that concurrent with a strategic plan and set aside of reserves for these board-approved strategic priorities, the county has a goal to strengthen our general fund reserves. And we've set a target that's at the bottom of the slide that's based on recommended best practices of the Government Finance Officers Association. So the county is trying to balance our strategic priority needs with also our need to strengthen our reserves. So turning...
Can I ask a question? Mr. Kim, I think you mentioned, is this the last year we have a bankruptcy payment obligation?
The last bankruptcy debt comes off next fiscal year.
Next fiscal year?
Yes.
And that's considered in here?
Right. So when that comes off, it frees up about $18 million of general funds annually. So my comment on these reserves is that the reserves, we've always heard from rating agencies that although we're a AA rated county, for a AA rated county, our reserves are too narrow, that they're not within the same level as our peers within the AA bracket. So they've always said, look, you've got strong management, you're doing a good job, you have a very diverse and robust economy, we're rating you AA. However, in the area of reserves, you're too low. So I remember when I came to the county and the budget office around 2007, our reserves were $185 million. You can see that they're over $350 million today. So we've grown them because our board has said to me, Frank, I'm giving you direction. We want to be to see credit improvements. We want to be a stronger, more fiscally stable county. So build reserves. And that's what we've done. So today we're getting questions from the board members. Well, why are you financing radios? We should pay for that with cash. Some members are saying that. Mm-hmm. And they're saying we want to consider cash options for doing the CUF, even though this body approved the CUF bond financing. So when we come back to the board, we're having those discussions over, do you want to cash finance some of these projects or do you want to debt finance them? Knowing that I've built the reserves based on direction from the board to strengthen our position. So here we are today. We're stronger than we were before. Now, the board, you have a choice. Do you want to cash finance, debt finance? And that's why a lot of the ways that we set up these project budgets for our consultants is that they're set to, it's like a contingency. If we don't issue the debt, we don't pay them. So that's why oftentimes you'll see us come and request approval for approval in concept so that we can work out those options and present those options to the board.
But I also want to add that the board is working, and you can tell, for example, by your comment with reference to financing or using the cash reserves to pay for the radios. That is a direct correlation, I can almost guarantee you, from PFAC's discussion by not just saying we're going to go out and finance these radios, talking about the limited life and why don't we just take them out of general fund.
Absolutely. I think that's
our job.
You're doing your job, and even if it sometimes it's challenging for staff, I think that it is a good process because there's a second set of eyes that are looking at this, and your focus is singular as opposed to a board who have a very broad focus. So I know that they do appreciate your comments, and it does not fall on deaf ears. Anything that happens here, they do hear about. They question me directly in my meetings. So it is a good process.
I'm glad to hear that. Any more comments, Mr. Hammond?
No, thank you.
If we turn to slide three, this shows our contingency reserve and the projected balance of $61.3 million. And this slide is just depicting what the target is and the gap where we currently are to meet that target. Then turning to slide four is the proposed capital projects for next fiscal year 15-16. None of these projects are proposed to be funded through a bond financing.
Okay. What's LaPata?
LaPata is a road at on the north end. It's at Ortega Highway. Antonio Parkway turns into LaPata going up to the Prima de Sheca landfill, and the gap is to extend it and close that gap. The other end of LaPata is in San Clemente, the east end of San Clemente.
Any questions? I want to thank you for your presentation. Any other comments by anybody else?
One question. Mr. Kim again.
Are
we making money on our jail renting space that I read about?
We are.
All the time?
So we're averaging close to about 600 jail beds for federal detainees. Uh-huh. So they do pay our daily rate, which this is an approximate number, is about $110 or $120 a day.
It's cheaper than the Hilton, right?
Yeah, but I'd rather stay at the Hilton.
I think so, too. Thank you.
Okay, now do I have a motion to adjourn?
A motion.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Well, at least we got a unanimous vote on that one.
On that one. Thank you, Suzanne.
Thank you, Suzanne.
It's weird.
What? I think that we're going to vote a policy. Look at a policy change and make it a policy. But you got to do one step at a time. But thank you for the spirited dialogue.
Yes, the volatile. Right.